and an open heart, dear Lord, to receive your word. Hallelujah. And I pray, Father God, that their lives will be changed tonight, that they will be touched by your powerful hand and your loving hand here this evening, Father God, and having their lives changed for your glory, for their good. And we thank you for it. Father, thank you for your investing in that right now. And Father, we give you all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. I want you to turn again, and I say again because we were here a week ago, but I want you to turn in your Bibles to the fifth chapter of the book of Hebrews. Fifth chapter of the book of Hebrews. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And I want to begin reading to you from beginning again with the 12th verse of the book of Hebrews. The writer here was telling the folk where they should be in Christ Jesus. Of course, I say the writer, but we know it was the Holy Spirit, right? Amen. Men wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Bible is the Word of God. Can I get another amen on that? Yeah. The Bible... The Bible is the living word of God. Amen. So, verse 12 says, For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. Hallelujah. And I told you last week that God wants us all to grow up. He wants us to mature. Too many times the body of Christ remains in the babyhood stage of spiritual growth. A few do manage to Some manage to get into the teenage stage, if I can use that term, of spiritual growth. But God wants us to become adults spiritually. Amen. And there's, he's laid out the way that we can do this. But he told him, he says, listen, by now you should be teachers. You should be instructors. You should be instructors. People should be able to follow you as you follow Christ. Amen. And I told you also that, we teach in different ways. I stand before you as a pastor. And I teach and I minister the Word of God, and I thank Him for that privilege. Amen. I thank Him for that privilege. Everything within me I want to give him my best. How about you?
Amen.
I want to give him my best because he gave me his best. Yes, he did. He gave us all his best.
Amen.
But I told you, and I'll repeat it again tonight, or this evening, there's more than one way to teach. You can stand before folk and go line by line, precept by precept, here a little, there a little, you know, breaking it down. And that's good. We need that. But you know, you can also teach and influence other people by your own life and your own lifestyle. Amen? I heard this, I heard a person say this years and years ago. Matter of fact, honestly, I don't remember who it was that said it. I don't remember the person, but I sure remember what they said. And it was simply this. They said, the only Jesus some folks are going to see is you. At least initially. And that's the reason Jesus said that we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. We are lamps set on a hill for others to watch. Hallelujah. So every time, every day of my life, whether I'm standing here, but every day of my life, I am teaching someone something. You know, if I go out and do something stupid, folks going to notice that. If I lose my temper and just go crazy, folks going to notice that. Matter of fact, they'll remember that more than they will the good that I've done. Oh yeah, there's that preacher. Y'all remember 5 years ago, I think it was March 17th or something like that, you know, and then folk have a way of remembering things. They do. As a believer, you have more influence on other people than you really think you do. Because not everybody gonna tell you they watching you. Amen. So in that sense, all of us are to be teachers, teaching with our lives and not just with our word. So he said, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. Verse 13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. You know, this just occurred to me, you know, sometimes folk, when they don't really know the word of God, they make up stuff. Yeah, they do. They make up stuff to hide the fact that they don't really know. Verse 14, but solid food belongs to those who are full of age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, we went over this last week, but here's the reason it is so important for us to know the word of God, for us to mature in the things of God. Because when you mature in the things of God, you can recognize, even when it's not apparent, you can recognize good from evil. Even though evil may come packed in a beautiful box with a ribbon on top, you can't see inside, but something, someone on the inside of you tells you, stay away from that. That ain't right. And we're living in a day now where a lot of Christians are falling for any and everything. Amen. And the reason for that is because they haven't matured in the things of God. They hadn't matured in the Word of God. They haven't given attention or very little attention to what God has to say about any given situation. So let's go on into chapter 6. And it says, verse 1, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Does that mean that we need to get to a point where we don't ever teach or preach the elementary things of God? Absolutely not. In every church, I don't care how long it's been going, don't care how many people it is, in every church, you're going to have people with different levels of spiritual growth. Different levels of spiritual growth. But I told you last week, and I'll tell you again this week, all of us must build on a solid foundation. And you got to have the foundation in place if you're going to build, if you're going to grow, if you're going to move forward. You got to have the foundation in place. If the foundation is not in place, the house is going to sink. And so, he went on to say, therefore, leaving the discussion, and I'm reading from the New King James Bible, of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, or you can say maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrines of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And then he went on to say, the writer goes on to say, and this we will do if God permits. Hallelujah. I like that verse 3 there. We'll do it if God permits. Hallelujah. Now, my subject, and I think I told you last week, did I tell you last week what my subject was? Somebody tell me, what did I tell you? First principles of the doctrine of Christ. Amen. Now, I know some of you have been saved a long time. Some of you have a lot of years behind you. But I'm going to tell you something. There's some, maybe some folks here, some folks watching. They don't understand the first principles of the doctrine of Christ. They don't have a solid foundation to build on. Amen. So let's just take a look at these. I want to take a look at some things. Repentance from dead works. Now, we know and I changed my mind concerning the direction that I was going. I changed my mind about But I remember as a teenager, we had some old magazines laying around the house. And so, you know, I didn't have a lot to do, you know, just a teenager and didn't have a job. Matter of fact, I think I was too young for a job. So I would read magazines. I would read a lot of comic books, too. But I was reading this magazine, and you have to understand, I was kind of carnal teenager. I'm just being real with you, because I believe this helped somebody. And I was reading this magazine, and this article that a lady wrote, and she wrote, and I read something that absolutely, I thought at the time, messed me up. Because I hadn't been taught properly. You know what I read? It is a sin to have sex before you're married. Now y'all looking at me like you just met me. I hadn't always been saved. Thank God I didn't get in a bunch of trouble and get in a bunch of mess. I praise God for that. Part of it was probably it took a long time for me to get a car. By the time I got my first car, I was saved. So not being able to get around kept me out of a lot of trouble and out of a lot of mess. Hallelujah. And I thought, man. And you go to school and you're with the guys and they're talking about, man, you know, we ain't going into what they're talking about, but it weren't clean, okay? And they had a unhealthy disrespect for females. And any of you that, y'all know what I'm talking about. And that was what I was fed to me. But I, as a young teenager, I'd been in church. Nobody told me that was wrong. I had to find out from a magazine that wasn't even a Christian magazine. That to have sex outside of marriage is wrong. Guess what? Folk don't talk about that too much anymore. But you know what happened? Now, at that time, I wasn't saved when I read that, but it never left me. I had friends that did have cars. One in particular rode around, and we could have got into more than we did. Thank God we didn't. But my point is, when I got saved, when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I repented. There's a song, that old song I used to hear the old folks sing, the things I used to do, I don't do no more. Y'all, anybody remember that song? Well, you know what? I repented. My song was, the things that I wanted to do, I don't want to do anymore. Because I repent. What point am I making? I changed my mind. I changed the course that I was on. Now, I realize that's elementary, but you know, some folks don't, I'm serious. In 2022, some folks don't know it's wrong. That's the reason you have so many folks shacking. This is elementary, folks. When you're born again, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And he's living on the inside of you. So you shouldn't just be taking him any and everywhere. You shouldn't be doing just any and everything. And I understand nobody's perfect. Amen. Thank God for 1 John 1:9. Everybody say 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we happen to mess up, but we don't want to. I've told you this and I've told others. Don't try to play God, though. You know what I mean by playing him? Well, I want to do this. So I'm going to go ahead and do it. Then after I finish, I'm going to ask him to forgive me. I haven't heard it personally, but I've heard folk tell me that actually some preachers have told their congregation that, well, just go ahead and do it, and when you finish, ask God to forgive you. But see, that's elementary. These are the first principles. When you get saved, when you give your life to the Lord, you are to repent and then ask him to help you. Ask him to help you. You know what? The Holy Spirit helped me because I let him help me. I had opportunities. I used to be a military guy. And it's something about that uniform that used to drive women crazy. It wasn't me. It was the uniform. The base I was stationed at, they try to get into the barracks, just girls trying to get to the men. But you know what and I could tell you some stories, but I'm not. But you know what? I made up my mind that I'm not going that route because I'm not going to grieve the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to disappoint my Lord. But now, I know what some folks may be thinking. Yep, preacher, but it's because you're a preacher. I wasn't a preacher then. Yeah, but I tried, but I just couldn't do it. You know what? You trust him. You trust him. If you stumble and fall, immediately deal with it. Deal with it. And I'm a living witness. God will help you if you will let him. Let me say that again. God will help you if you will let him. He promised us that he would help us. He know we can't do it alone. We live in the world. Jesus said, Father, I don't pray that you take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil or the evil one. And I'm here to tell you, he is more than able to keep us. None of us can brag. Well, you know, I haven't done this and I haven't done that and I don't do this and I don't do the other. It's by the grace of God. You better give God the glory. Because it's not because we so great. And some of you right in this room know what God has delivered you from. How God has been faithful to you. Things that you saw that was ahead of you that looks impossible. Lord, how am I ever going to change? But God said, I got this. You just stay in fellowship with me. You stay in my word. Just keep feeding on my word. Keep feeding on my word. Stay in fellowship with me. Stay in prayer. Stay in church. Where an uncompromised word of God is being preached. I'm here to tell you, God is faithful. Think about it. Think about it for a moment. And an old fallen devil is going to make you do what you don't want to do? You ever thought about it that way? Are you going to be governed by a loser? Word of God tells us where his future is. It's called the lake of fire. But that's the reason he says the word repentance means you gotta first make up your mind. This is no longer a part of my life. Now, Lord, I'm giving this to you. Amen. Lord, I'm giving this to you. I've heard many folks that was hooked on drugs or alcohol or pornography and a number of other things, but God delivered them. Why? Because they made up their mind, this is not who I am. I don't want this to be a part of my life. I surrender this to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to stay in fellowship with him. Well, preacher, I tried that one time and I failed. Get back up. Get back up. Get back up. There's a song also we sing, so I don't know the words to it, but it says, he hadn't failed me yet. Well, I got good news for you. He never will. Amen. He never will. Amen. Praise God. I didn't mean to stay there that long, folks. Praise God, but it's the truth. But let me tell you something else about dead works. You can be born again and have dead works. I want to go real quick here. Anybody ever heard of just simply being religious? Just simply being religious? Trying to look spiritual, but actually you're in the natural. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 7. The Gospel of Mark chapter 7. I'm so glad to know, folks, and people need to hear this, the believers and the unbelievers, because some of them don't know. The power of God is available to us if we would place a demand on it in the name of Jesus to deliver us from anything or everything. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 7. And I'll begin reading it, verse 1. I taught, this is years and years ago, over 35 years ago, I taught a message on the deadly poison of religion, because religion will make you think that you are pleasing God when you're really not. So, Mark chapter 7, we'll begin reading at verse 1. Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, having come from Jerusalem. Now when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault. But the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. Now, this is not just washing your hand before you eat to, you know, get all the germs and stuff off. This is a ceremonial washing that they are referring to. Verse 4, and when they came, when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups, pitchers, copper vessels, and couches. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders? Now, hear how that question is framed. Why do your disciples, Jesus, not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? And he answered and said to them, Did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written? Jesus didn't mince words, did he? This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandment of men. Let me read verse 7 again. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandment of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men. The washing of pitchers and cups and many other such things you do. He said to them, all too well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. Another way of saying it is making the word of God of no effect. You know, sometimes we get there in the church, don't we? We get so tied up with our little programs. And we do things because that's the way they've always done them. And we know that don't line up with the word of God. Some of the things they do, some places, totally contradict the word of God. But people religiously do them. Amen. I tell another little story on myself. I remember my mother taught me that, you know, that you should never walk under a ladder. And I think another one was you don't split a pole. In other words, if two people walking together, you know, both of you walk on the same side of the pole. Well, why? Well, they always, you know, they always told us that was bad luck. And I did it. I did it. I kept her advice until I got a hold of the Word of God. I got the Word of God on the inside of me, and one day I saw a ladder leaning up against the wall, and I walked under it intentionally. And then I turned around and walked back under it again. It didn't fall. Me and my wife walking somewhere, and there's a pole. We just split the pole. She won't go on one side, I go the other. See, that stuff, and you know, that stuff can become a tradition. You, born again, tongue talkers, but we can still sometimes hold on to things that don't even line up with the Bible. I remember watching my dad driving down the road. And I was in the front seat with him, and he was driving down the road, and a black cat went running across the road. Yep, formed an X. How many of you know about that? Come on, be honest. Yeah, a lot. Yeah. Well, I've seen plenty of black cats, and we ain't doing X's. You understand what I'm saying? Some things we need to get free from. Some of the old traditions. Hallelujah. I tell this on some of my family, I'm not saying who, but this has been years and years ago, because I was just a small child. But, you know, we'd go to church and they'd shout and shout and shout and sing and shout and shout, and then we all go home and they talk about ghosts rather than Jesus. Anybody else ever been there other than my sister and me? Yeah, well, you got some hand. Put fear on the inside of you. But I found out one day that God has not given me the spirit of fear, but he gave me power, love, and a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. Bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Y'all still here? But sometimes, if we're not careful, we can get over into these traditions that completely contradicts the Word of God, and we give them more attention than we do the Word of God. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. I told y'all I wasn't going to be long, didn't I? But listen, folks. These things can cause the Word of God not to work properly in our lives. And guess what? It will hinder us from growing spiritually. When I got a hold of the Word of God, and I really got a hold of the Word of God, my life changed. My life, I got set free. You hear me? I got set free. And guess what happened? I began to mature, because all that other stuff was stunting my growth. This could be our subject tonight, too, if we wanted to. Get rid of anything that stunts your growth. And as I close, we didn't get very far, but that's okay. But as I close tonight, hear me good. Hear me good, please. God is calling his people to come up higher. Get rid of all the stuff that don't matter. All that stuff that don't line up or contradicts the Word of God, or just a religious tradition, get rid of that stuff and get focused on God's Word. And stay focused on God's Word. And we will grow. And we'll be one of those people that can teach others. I know folks that leave church and go home and read the horoscope, whom we're supposed to be led by the Holy Spirit. Not by a horoscope, but by the Holy Spirit. Listen, you're not going to mature spiritually doing that. It's just not going to happen. It's time to grow up. Let me tell you something. Somebody needs you to grow up. And I'm not just talking to folks here, those that are watching the live stream. Somebody needs you to grow up. You may not even know them, who they are, but they need you to grow up, because God is going to direct your path to them, and you're going to be able to help him. God forbid that there's someone out there that God has destined for me to meet and share with them the goodness of the Lord. But I don't do it because I refuse to grow. I refuse to mature. I focus on other things other than the things of God. Somebody needs you. I'm closing, but look at somebody, tell them out loud, somebody needs you to continue to grow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you again, as I've told you before, this is our time. This is our time. Father, we thank you now. May we get serious about the things of God. May we release those things that are not even important and that are non-productive. But may we focus our eyes on you and on your word. And may you continue to mature us every day of our lives. That each of us, including myself, may become more usable to you day by day. Hallelujah. Father, I pray that none have to be diverted away from me simply because I was not usable. I had not placed myself in a place to be used by you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And I want to extend this invitation to anyone that's watching the live stream that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. Just want to let